The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of the FL 72 here on Radio Yorkshire. I'm Tom Carnduff. No Sam Bridges this week, so joining me will be Derek Clark, who's live from Oakwell, ahead of tonight's Sky Bet Championship clash between Barnsley and Newcastle United. We're reflecting on all the weekend's action, including Leeds United and Huddersfield Town, two defeats for our West Yorkshire sides. Can they bounce back tonight? We'll also be looking at the news from across the EFL, including Steve McLaren. He's back at Derby. No one saw that one coming. We'll be discussing that, as well as talking about promotion, relegation. Is it too early to say who's going up, who's going down, as well as previewing the action for tonight for our clubs across Yorkshire. So that's the FL 72 on until 7 next. Yes, good evening and welcome along to tonight's edition of the FL 72 here on Radio Yorkshire. Said in the intro, no Sam Bridges this week, so get on with it straight away and introduce Derek Clark, who's over at Oakwell for us. How are you doing, Derek?
Yeah, not bad, Tom. Looking forward to this one tonight. Barnsley against Newcastle. It's got all the makings of an absolute cracker here. Pitch is looking good. It's a nice, calm evening. So, really looking forward to this one.
Good. We'll be talking about all the actions for our Yorkshire sides going on later into the show. But should we start off by reviewing the weekend's action? We'll look at Leeds United first. Derby away, defeat. First win for Steve McLaren, of course. Do you reckon it was a game Leeds should have maybe won?
Well, by all accounts, the Leeds supporters I spoke to after the game on the football phone-up were disappointed with the result. They felt they should have taken at least a point from the game, but in the main, they were pleased. They're still pleased with the progress Gary Monk's made in the last few weeks. I know they've still got a decent record, Leeds, and they'll be looking to bounce back against Wigan at Ellen Road tonight. But the Steve McLaren effect, if you like, he's come back. He's got the first win under his belt, which will do the world of good, because I'm sure, I don't think there'll be any Derby supporters out there that would have been pleased with his reappointment 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, we'll get to talking about Steve McLaren later on. But then looking at the game, I think, you know, I understand the Steve McLaren coming in, the new manager effect, etc. But I think on paper, particularly, as a Leeds supporter, I always look at the away games and go, you know what, I fancy Leeds to win away. But then at home, it's a different story. And with the way Derby going, I just think it was a game that really, I think listening to it on Radio Yorkshire, it did sound like Leeds deserved at least a point.
Yeah, I think Kyle Bartley was guilty of missing a gilt-edged chance, especially at the end of the first half. I think he should have done better with a header, and I think he scluffed a shot as well late on. So I think he really could have got a point out of that game. But it's all the makings. I think the fact you're disappointed not to take anything shows you how far Leeds have come, because at the start of the season, the defence was an absolute bomb scare. You sort of shored that up. Pontus Janssens came in. He's become a fan's favourite already. So you've shored up the defence, and I think there will be games when you go on your travels. I mean, there's no easy game in the Championship table, and you've seen that on Saturday. Derby are a good side. They shouldn't be where they are in the table. Nigel Pearson, when he came in at the start of the season, you're thinking, yeah, he'll be able to get them challenging for promotion. It's not quite worked out. Steve McLaren's came back in. Who knows what's going to happen under his stewardship for a second time, but it's certainly not an easy place to go, the iPro Stadium, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You spoke about Steve McLaren looking at the other side. I was going to say other side of the touchline, but he was, of course, banned in the stands on Saturday, Gary Monk. I think from my perspective as a Leeds fan, I'm quite happy with the job he's done, how he's been, you know, the way he's turned it around. Because still it's, what, 5 wins out of the last 7 for Leeds? That's good form. But, you know, from an outsider perspective, like from the outside looking in, what do you think of Gary Monk and how he's done so
yeah,
far?
Yeah, I've been quietly impressed. He's just been going about his job quietly. I mean, at the start of the season, it wasn't looking too good. Heavy defeat, QPR, it was a shambles there, and a few ropey performances. and the daft thing, people calling for his head early on. For me, it takes time to build a side, and Gary Monk has shown in the past that he can build a quality side, and it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think mostly supporters that you speak to are happy that he's in charge, and they understand it's not a sort of quick fix. It will take a bit of time, maybe a season this season, maybe just stability, mid-table maybe, and then next season, then we can really judge him up his own players, and then we can decide how good a manager he really is.
Yeah, definitely. Leeds, of course, hosting Wigan tonight, a game you can hear on Radio Yorkshire. We'll kind of discuss the Leeds v Wigan game later on into the show, but for now, let's hear Gary Monk and what he had to say ahead of the game earlier this week.
We definitely had the chances to get something out of the game. Probably overall our performance deserves something out of the game, but we didn't, that's the fact. So we have to use that disappointment now for Tuesday. We've had a couple of days now training, preparing for Tuesday. As it is in the Championship, it's a quick turnover. You have to try and forget very quickly any negative thoughts on that performance and take the positives and the positive stuff that we have been doing and put this into Tuesday's game. That's what we have to do.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you talked about that first half performance, really. Do you think the players kind of believe in themselves enough? Do you think that's still got to come with more games?
I think it'll come. You know, I think you've seen the team grow for sure. We've become competitive, even in that game on Saturday. You look at the recent loss to Bristol City, we were very competitive in the game. So that's a really good sign of progress from us. And also in recent games, the results, the performances, the football that we've played as well, it shows a growth in the group, and that's pleasing to see. But in terms of belief, and that will always take a little bit more time, or you know, to get to that full belief in themselves, not in what we're doing, but in themselves, you know, to show what good players are every single minute of every single game. And that's part of what I've been talking about, that consistency level. I think we've got a consistency and competitiveness and some of our football, but it needs to be more now, especially the football side of it. We have to truly go out there and try and impose ourselves all the time, and I think that will come. You know, I said we'll suffer ups and downs very early as a group. We all want it now, we all expect it now, but that's not the way it works. But what I can say is that we're all working extremely hard, the players, the staff, everyone involved. Work hard every single day to keep improving and keep the positives and keep that belief growing, and you see it in the players. So we're looking to put that into show with our performance on Tuesday.
It's so tight, this league, and everyone after the game was telling you and talking to you about fine margins, but it's no consolation, is it, as a manager, that hearing about fine margins in a division?
No, not at all. You want to try and get the right side of those fine margins, and I think maybe our time will come. I think a lot this season, especially in some of the defeats that we've had, we've really suffered on the wrong side of some of those margins. Other times we deserved what we got. But there's a lot of positives. You know, there's way more positives than there is negatives with this team right now, and the group and the way they're conducting themselves and going into each game. And it's those positives we keep building on. Learn from the mistakes that we've made. That's part of a young group. They have to learn from those mistakes, make sure that they limit them in the future performances. But you know, it's a really good feel amongst the group, and we were all disappointed. We all want to show our character and our way of our passion of getting a reaction, which we've shown in the past after a negative result, and we were looking forward to trying to do that in front of our fans at Elland Road on Tuesday night.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, Leeds United head coach Gary Monk there speaking ahead of tonight's clash against Wigan. And moving on next, Derek, another West Yorkshire side who lost this weekend. Huddersfield Town, not used to losing games, to losing games at home as well. What do you make of that one, that loss against Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, it was a surprise in a way, but then again, they're going to have to lose a game at some point. And Sheffield Wednesday are sort of hit and miss this season, but they seem to be getting their house in order in the last wee while. By all accounts, it was a pretty drab game on Sunday lunchtime. Huddersfield weren't firing all cylinders, so a disappointment for them. And now we'll get to see if they've got the character. They have bounced back from defeats before, and they've showed the character to bounce back, so it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back from a home defeat, the first home defeat of the campaign. I know they've got a very difficult trip to Preston tomorrow night, so that'll be interesting to see how they get on there. Never easy place to go, but I think Huddersfield are the real deal. I expect them to be challenging up until the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned it there, kind of bouncing back. They lost to Brighton away. Never an easy place for a team to go. They bounced back with that win against QPR. Lost away to Reading. Bounced back with a win against Rotherham. And it is that, you know, see how they bounce back. But at the same time, do you not think it's kind of an indication of how far they've come from last season that they're playing Sheffield Wednesday, a team who were playoff finalists, and we're literally before the game going, well, we don't know who's going to win this one.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, David Widener said that at the end of the game. He says he's not disappointed in his players because they're taking on a top team, a top championship side, and he says if they can compete with them, then they're doing well. I think Huddersfield are punching above their weight and somewhat this season. I'm sure all the Terrier supporters are aware of that. They're very realistic. They're not used to sitting at the top end of the table, that's for sure. So I think they're just taking it in their stride and they're just enjoying the journey as it goes at the moment. But it certainly shows you how far they've come. They're playing. I watched them against Rotherham and they played some great stuff. Maybe one criticism for Huddersfield is they don't kill teams off and they're sometimes hanging on at the end. So maybe that's one slight criticism of that, especially teams like Rotherham. You need to be killing teams off as opposed to hanging on at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree. And the other thing I think I agree with you about is you said that they're the real deal. And me and Mark spoke about it before. Me and Sam have definitely spoke about this before. And Huddersfield Town, they were top, they're now third. Yeah. I still think they're on for top six. Do you reckon playoffs is definitely achievable?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I watched them against Rotherham and they look good. They've got speed about them, they pass the ball about well. I think they've got enough about them to at least make the playoffs. We can now see the top two favourites occupying the top two positions in Norwich and Newcastle. I think they'll be fighting it out amongst themselves to see who goes up automatically, and so they should be because they've got the biggest budgets and they've obviously got the parachute payments as well, so they've got money to burn, those two clubs. But I think Huddersfield, by all accounts, certainly a playoff position they should be targeting, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then of course on the other side there was Sheffield Wednesday, who, you know, they got that opening day victory over Aston Villa, a team that, you know, two teams really that many fancy to be kind of favourites for promotion. And then I think they went five games without a win. Of course that loss to Burton, the home loss to Leeds, seem to have turned it around a bit though now, and I think they're seventh in the league. I know it's early days, but you got to fancy them to come at least top six again.
Yeah, well, apparently they're in a better position this season than what they were last season. Oh, and obviously, they made the playoff final last season, so I'm sure that'll give the Owls faithful a bit of hope. Like I've seen them a couple of times this season, and they're slow starters that takes them to go a goal behind before they start to kick into gear. So I mean, you might find that that's one thing Carlos Carvajal will be wanting to try and sort out. They start games quick, but I think that game weekend against Huddersfield will certainly do them the world of confidence, and they'll be hoping to bounce on from that.
Yeah, definitely, and they'll of course I'm sure be looking for that win tomorrow night. They travel to Cardiff. Quick word on Cardiff, Neil Warnock's come in, seems to have turned it around a bit short term.
Yeah, certainly is. The Neil Warnock effect, certainly if you want to stay in the division, he's the man to call. Fantastic manager. He showed again his result against Bristol City, who are flying at the moment. He's brought in Saul Bamba, man of the match in that game as well, so it shows you what he can do. He's a miracle worker, Neil Warnock, and Sheffield Wednesday have got their work cut out tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely, and ahead of that game, Jack Deaton's been speaking to Carlos Carvajal, and here's what he had to say to Radio Yorkshire.
The most important to me is the way that we play, acting like a team. So this is the most important. Our best defenders was the attackers. Our best attacker was the goalkeeper, was Westy. So we acting like a team, and we know exactly why we win that game, because everybody fight a lot and did a fantastic teamwork. It's why we win that game. But it's not because this, because everybody fights, that we don't have some individuals that in that game come up natural, but it's natural. Last game, the attackers, the defending play very well, the midfielders also. Westy was important one or two times in the crucial moment. So this is the football. If the team work and the team acting very well, and if the team is strong, the individual come natural to one day one, another day another one. But if you don't act like a team, we don't win, and never the individual's performance can be to outside like fantastic, because it's impossible. We just do this if the team works.
Looking ahead to tomorrow, what sort of game are you expecting?
Hard game, hard opponent, new motivation, tough team, very tough team. We understand how they play, and we are, as I told before, we are working hard to cover the strong points and try to explore the weak points that the team have, like all the teams. But we expect, as I told you, probably will be more difficult game tomorrow than the game on the previous Sunday.
Typically, when teams get new managers, there's a new impetus and everybody goes for it to try and impress the new manager. Is that something that you need to be careful of and be aware of tomorrow?
Yeah. It's make all the time impact the new coach. I believe that after the first week or 2 or 3 weeks, the impact is proportional of the quality of the work, stabilize the thing. So if the work of the coach is good, if the team give a good answer, the team still in good way. If the teams in these cases are not so good, the effect of the psychologic moment can come down a little. But this is normal in all the world. But we'll play against a team that even with the change or not, the coach will put problem to us. The same way that we know that we are a tough team and we can create the problems to them, so we'll be ready to the difficulties and the problems of the game. To this reality that is the game tomorrow, and we'll be ready to play.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Now, as ever, whenever we do these things, it's always a chance of some technical problems, and that's happened right now. So we've lost Derek. Just temporarily, just for the moment, so bear with me. So we heard from Carlos Carvajal there, the Sheffield Wednesday manager. Now, moving to League One, and a team who have really hit some good form, pushed themselves into the playoffs. Potential genuine promotion contenders in Sheffield United. They travel to Shrewsbury, managerless Shrewsbury tonight to face Salop. And we've been speaking to Chris Wilder earlier into the week, who gave us his thoughts ahead of the game.
I don't care where goals come from. I think the only thing I would say is that, you know, the confidence in the forwards, it is good for them, and they're naturally in a position to score more than anybody else. But it is, you know, we talked about a goals tally that you need if you want to be successful, and we need to hit that. So, you know, naturally, the forwards will look to gain the bulk of those goals, but along the way, the Flex, the Kooks, the Bashams, Freeman scored, Lafferty, you know, has got into good positions, and you need goals from centre-half. I think Jack was a little bit disappointed that he's not scored on Saturday because, you know, the ball in was a great ball in, and he possibly should score. So whether it's from set pieces, open play, or whatever, we need to chip in right away through the team.
You mentioned that you're looking towards January and possibly new additions. Are you looking at the free agent market as well at the moment, looking at any possible people coming in between now and January?
Well, we'll just always keep our options open on that, but the team's going well. We're a little bit light on bodies, you know, especially the top of the pitch recently with Lavery and Leon not being involved, but I think the group has handled it fantastically well, not used it as an excuse and got on with it. But you know, with those two definitely back into the group and Basham, you know, they're three big players that we've missed over the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, along with Leon. So to get them, we want our group to be as strong as possible. But you know, we'll always keep our options open if there's anybody floating about.
What sort of game are you expecting against Shrewsbury tomorrow?
Well, it's a free hit for them. You know, a lot of people will look at their position, look at our result. You know, no manager, you know, a team that's lost its manager, a team that's not on a great run, and a team that's doing well. But I just don't look at it like that. You know, they will start the game and they'll look at it as a free hit for them, and they'll want to turn us over and get their season back on track. And we recognise that and respect that. And as we just said, it is a massively dangerous game for the players, but one that we'll be talking to them about, and they'll understand that. You know, these are the nights that, you know, if you are going to be successful, you have to turn up. The other games, you know, the sort of games in and around, you know, us up at the top of the league and Bradford at the top of the league on Saturday, MK Dons, who have been a really good team in this division, those games take care of itself. It's the games like tonight that, you know, tomorrow night is the big ones that show what your team's all about. And it'd be good to see what my team is about. You know, they'll get the instructions, they'll get enough messages across to them, but they have to go and carry that out, and we'll only know that at what, 9:45 on Tuesday night, if they've heeded it, and if we've overcome that obstacle and hurdle, you know, I'll be delighted.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Join me, Darren Harper, for The Breakfast Show. Good morning, Yorkshire, every weekday morning from 6:30 here on Radio Yorkshire, where, of course, this week, it's all been about one massive sporting exclusive, and we had it here first on Radio Yorkshire. Freddie Flintoff wanted Yorkshire to win. First of all, how gutted were you that Yorkshire missed out on the county championship?
Do you know what? This is progress, I suppose, but I was hoping they would win it.
Really?
Genuinely, what Jason Gillespie's done there with the Yorkshire lads should be replicated by everyone, and I was gutted that they couldn't quite do it.
I know. Shocking, I know, shocking!
Good morning, Yorkshire. Going at 88 miles per hour all the time. That's the power of love.
Welcome back to the FL 72. I'm glad to say, I think, if I try it now, Derek might be back with us. Derek, are you there?
Wee-hey,
there we go. There we are.
Old buildings, Will.
Oh, cracking stuff. And also joining us, because we're talking Bradford City now. It's a bit weird. It's usually me sat in the chair you're in, Danny.
Yeah.
And this is bizarre.
Well, it's like a bat calling from like Batman. When everyone's talking Bradford, I just turn up on the scene just to say that Stuart McCall is ace.
And we have like a big light that shines into the newsroom where you are, yep. Bradford City.
That's it.
Stuart McCall's face.
That's it, yes. Comes straight in.
The Stuart McCall.
Call for Bantam Man.
That's the one.
Oh, yes.
Bantam Man.
McCall sign. There we are. Right, so anyway, Bradford City lost the unbeaten record at the weekend, Danny.
Yeah.
A bit disappointed or you know, in the bigger picture, it's not too bad a result.
I mean, no one's going to be running to panic stations at the minute, but it was a game they should have won. You know, Billy Clark had the penalty, and he hasn't hit, for me, the great form he can hit throughout the season, but he's not that sort of natural finisher, the natural poacher that Bradford need up front. I think what's going to be interesting now is that because Hansen's come back, he's sort of going to add a sort of extra dimension. I want to see what he's like next to McNulty, because when I saw McNulty against Bolton, when I saw him against Shrewsbury, he just couldn't seem to hit it off, and I think he needs that sort of big man next to him, really helping him out there. But yeah, they should have won it. It's a shame they didn't, but at the end of the day, you can't go wrong being second in the league after only having about 8 players signed on the books at the end of last season. Yeah, I'll take that.
He even offered Tom Feeney a game, I think, to play Switzerland. That's how bad it was.
Not bad enough to offer me a game, but bad enough to offer Tom Feeney a game. That's the sort of level we were at.
Well, Greg Abbott's there signing, and he did say I was good at Greg Abbott's football academy.
Well,
so
that's it. He was he
still
was
either, waiting for a call up.
It was either Knight Percival or me at centre back, and
I think they made the wrong choice.
I think they made the right choice. Even I think they made the right choice.
But Bradford's beneath you, Danny. You're better than that.
That's true. That's true. I'm still waiting on Bayern Munich and Real Madrid to come in with an offer at some point, Derek. I'll wait and see.
That'll just drop into your email inbox. Oh, I've got to leave. All right. Okay. Never mind, Danny. It's
probably
been
dropped in the spam folder.
What about you, Derek? I think you've seen Bradford a bit this season. Am I right in thinking you were our Checkatrade trophy correspondent?
Checkatrade man, yeah.
Yes,
I
that's the one.
Against, I don't know how much you can take from that game, though, against Bury. I mean, they won 2-1, but it was like a reserve side they put out, albeit Harris Vuskic was playing. He's a class act. They really need to get him 100% fit, because when he's on song, then he's a real asset. He scored in that game. He set up the other goal for Jordi Hawula. So, yeah, he's a great player for Bradford. I think he could be the difference between going up and not, I think.
Danny, Southend visitors tonight. You must be confident going into that one. Home against Southend, who haven't had the best of starts this season.
The problem is, and this is the problem with Bradford, and I'm hoping this is going to be a relic of the Phil Parkinson era and we won't hear of this again, but whenever we went up against a team we should definitely beat, we would usually lose. For the greatest example of this is that everyone forgets when Bradford went down to Stamford Bridge and won 4-2.
Did they?
Yeah. You might not remember that, but they did. But what everyone forgets is they lost to Yeovil at the weekend. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing that Bradford do. Last year went on a fantastic running run, lose to Colchester that couldn't win a game at all. You know, they were just hopeless. And then all of a sudden they turn up at Valley Parade, Bradford fall apart and they win. I think that's Phil Parkinson. You know, I don't think that's Stuart McCall from what I've seen, because they managed to beat Shrewsbury, who are, you know, I cannot understand sometimes how they are in a professional league with that performance against Bradford. Yeah. Not that I'm trying to put them down or anything, but, you know, they still managed to put on a very dominant performance against them. It's just about, you know, getting these results and turning draws into wins and hopefully, you know, not, you know, by the end of the day, I don't want Bolton to be the top of Bradford. I want Bradford's Sheffield United at the weekend to be not about second and fourth, but more about, you know, more about the Yorkshire Derby itself.
Cracking. Agree, Derek?
Yeah, I think so. I think Sheffield United are going to be up there or thereabouts as well. I think Chris Wilder's finally got them firing on all cylinders. So I think that's got the makings of an absolute cracking affair on Saturday. Danny, you're going to be heading along to it. So I think it's going to be it's going to be packed out, Valley Parade, I'm sure, on Saturday. And it's going to be a thrilling contest, I'm sure.
Should be. And anyway, we've been speaking to Stuart McCall ahead of tonight's game against Southend. And of course, game that Danny Parkinson's not playing as he's off to Bayern Munich.
Oh. Stuart, obviously, Paul Fogarty looking at you now, unbeaten record is gone. You'll be hoping that the side shows some character now and bounce back.
Yeah, that's what we said after the game. It's devastating as we were to lose the goal in the manner we did. Remain was adamant it was a penalty kick, which would have been the last kick of the game. There's no guarantees we'd have scored it, obviously. But so there was a huge sense of frustration and disappointment, because the lads were proud of the run they'd been on. But, you know, it's gone. So now, straight after Saturday, the focus was doing everything right, you know, cooling down, eating the right foods, resting up and being prepared for Saturday's game, Tuesday's game, should I say.
I was going to ask that. Obviously, it's a quick turnaround until Tuesday, a long journey back from Oxford. How do you guys prepare for a game so quick in terms of training and that sort of thing?
Yeah, to be fair, Sunday, because of the travelling, they have that off, but they have a little programme to do, be it swimming, jogging. You know, they don't want to be couch potatoes, because then they come in Monday morning stiff. So they get out and they do things. They know their own bodies, what they need, what they can do. Obviously, the lads that weren't involved will have done a run of some sort. And then today, again, the lads went through a good morning session, and the boys that haven't been involved of late, we had a five-a-side between them, and they worked hard at that. So, again, it's not often we don't do the side, name the team the day before, but we're just waiting on a couple of little things, and, you know, we'll have a look more in-depth at Southend this afternoon, and then we'll decide tomorrow which way we're going to go.
And James Hansen, one of those boys that missed out on Saturday, he must be itching to go.
He certainly is, yeah, he's ready to go. He had a good training session. Well, he started actually last Tuesday with a physio, trained well with us Thursday, trained here Friday with us, and then on Saturday had a good session with a physio up here and trained well today. So yeah, he's ready to go.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Stuart McCall there, Bradford manager, speaking to Radio Yorkshire earlier this week. And, well, Derek, you disappeared when I had my Sheffield United chat.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Come on, it's all right, I'll let you off. I said that I think Sheffield United are genuine promotion contenders now. They didn't show it early on into the season, but they've turned it around. I watched them play Peterborough. Maybe it wasn't their best game, but they showed that they could take times under pressure and still come out of a result. Do you think it's maybe too early to say for Sheffield United, or are they a team that could well go up?
No, I think they'll be there or thereabouts. Playoffs at the very least. I mean, they had that thumping win at the weekend against Port Vale, 4-0. They had four goals disallowed as well, so it could have been even more. And by all accounts, like I mentioned there, Chris Wilder certainly got them up and running finally after what was a slow start. But it takes time. Like I said about Gary Monk, it takes time to bed in your sort of ideas, your philosophies. So we're finally seeing the results of that. And by all accounts, Chris Wilder Rangers, a very meticulous sort of guy. He schedules his whole day in military-like fashion, and I think that's what we're seeing with Sheffield United now. They're going about their business very well indeed, very professional. They now sit fifth in the table, 3 points off Bradford, with a game in hand, obviously, as well, so they could go level in points. And that game at Valley Parade is, like I mentioned earlier on, it's going to be a humdinger of a game, that.
Oh, it is. It really is. And then looking more short-term looking, in fact, about an hour and 15 minutes' time, Shrewsbury Town, a visit there. Yeah. Managerless. They've been struggling.
Yeah.
You'd expect the Blades to get 3 points.
You know you're in a bad way when you've got a manager leaving you to join a side in non-league. I mean, Mickey Mellon going to Tranmere Rovers.
Don't let Tom Feeney hear you say that.
But, yeah, it doesn't look too good for the Strews at the moment. Second bottom and... You know, like Danny says, he's surprised they're a professional outfit. I wouldn't go that far, but they are struggling at the moment. 10 points, second bottom. And another team that surprised me down there, Coventry City, they're in such a bad way, it just defies belief.
It's crazy, isn't it? Just talk about Coventry, how you think, what, the turn of this year, say we look at 1st of January 2016, they were running away with it.
Yep.
They were, you could throw your house on it at that point. You'd be that confident that Coventry would go. Just what's gone wrong? I know Adam Armstrong's left, and he was a big part of that, but... What just what's happened at Coventry City?
Yeah, I think it obviously lies deeper than just the sort of external, the sort of players and that sort of thing. I think it's a deep lying problem there at Coventry City. We've seen obviously Tony Mowbray chucked it as well. He resigned. He felt he couldn't take the team any further. So when you've got an experienced manager like that chucking it, then you know you're in trouble. But it just seems sad to see them down there. They look like certainties to go down to League Two. And for me, growing up as a boy, Coventry City, we were a Premier League outfit. Year in, year out. Albeit they were struggling every year, but they've just sort of been struggling. When did they get relegated? About 15 years ago or something like that. So they've been struggling ever since. So I just feel for the Coventry supporters. I think it's ever since they moved to the Rico Arena, they've just sort of struggled. So it seems like a bit of a curse for them, that stadium.
Yeah, definitely. Really are struggling anyway. That's the Yorkshire. Well, I say Yorkshire news. We've pretty much touched on most clubs in the country. After the short break, we'll be chatting about Steve McLaren and his return to Derby.
Okay, get into bed and I'll start the story. So a long time ago, there lived a young princess called Ellie and her pet dragon, Scorcher. But Scorcher wasn't an ordinary dragon. Oh, no. He flew backwards. And instead of fire, he breathed out rainbow-flavoured popcorn.
Life insurance from Legal & General, because the end of your story isn't the end of hers, and you'd want her looked after whatever happened. Help protect the ones you love from £6 a month. That's about 20p a day. Find out more at legalandgeneral.com/life. Subject to eligibility and exclusions.
Jeff, cheers for coming in this morning. Let's keep in touch. Here's my card.
Jose Fabuloso.
What?
Learn fabulous flamenco in a simple uno,
right,
dos, tres.
Right, that's obviously not... don't know how that got in there.
Our breakfasts are freshly prepared, even if you're not. Like our sausage and egg McMuffin. McDonald's. We make breakfast. Served before 10:30 a.m.
Go there.
Save on all footwear.
Go there.
Walk in the fresh air.
Go there.
If you love to hike.
Go there.
For a price you'll like.
Go there.
There are big savings at Go Outdoors Leeds. Get an extra 15% off the discount card price on footwear, like walking boots from great brands including Merrell, Berghaus and Scarpa. Go there for less at Go Outdoors, York Road, Leeds. With free discount card, terms and conditions apply.
Lotto's £26 million jackpot must be won this Wednesday, which for some lucky winners could make life pretty... Now, what's the word?
Fantastic.
No, not that.
Wonderful.
No.
Beautiful. It's true.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Anyone can win with Lotto. Please, don't let it be him. Estimated jackpot. Game rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72 with myself, Tom Carnduff and Derek Clark. On until... about seven-ish when the coverage of Leeds United versus Wigan takes over. Now, Derek mentioned it just before, Steve McLaren back at Derby. I didn't see it coming. I imagine nobody really saw that
one
coming, surely.
No one saw that coming. That came so far from left field, it defies belief. And like I said before, I'm not too sure there'd be too many Derby fans, if any, that were jumping for joy when McLaren get reappointed as Rams boss. But hey-ho, first game in charge, they beat Leeds United. Leeds, as we mentioned earlier on a decent run of form, so it's no mean feat. And he'll be hoping that he can get the team up and running. That's be honest about it, when he was in charge, firstly, he had the team up there challenging at the playoff position, yeah. And he just went on a bad run, and that sort of ended that one. So it remains to be seen. Derby, like I said before, they shouldn't be where they are. The players that they've got at their disposal, they shouldn't be down there at that end of the division. They should be up challenging playoffs at the very least. I think I tipped them to be third in the division, I'm sure, just missing out on the automatic promotion places. But that was when Nigel Pearson was in charge, so it'll be interesting to see how Steve McLaren gets on a second time.
Yeah, definitely. I think you mentioned it there. I think they were top around February time, yep. And then it kind of just went into a nosedive. I think the only two teams they beat were, what, Wigan and Blackpool, maybe, who went down.
Yeah.
I'm undecided on McLaren. I think you reflect on his time at Derby by that spell. And at the end of the day, you know, that season they got into, what, the FA Cup quarterfinals. They were top. They were flying. I think it reflects on that. I just don't know if he's kind of the character that they need to go in to motivate and to turn it around.
Yeah, I think he's a very good coach. I think I think he's coaching second to none, but I don't think his man management is the best. I mean, he's had a sort of hit and miss career. He's forever known as the Wally with the Brawley, obviously, for his disastrous time as England manager. But let's not forget, he went to Holland and won the league with 20, which is absolutely unheard of. He then went to Wolfsburg, didn't do too well there, came back. Obviously had his spell at Newcastle, didn't go too well, so he's been sort of hit and miss, so it'll be interesting. This I think this is going to be make or break for him. I think if he does well here, then his career can go on to bigger and greater things. But if it doesn't go well, then it's going to be difficult to see how he gets another job in football.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree. You know, it's one of those where you're kind of scratching your head at times as how it's come about. But then moving on to another Championship, another Midlands, I know West Midlands, but another Midlands-based team in Birmingham City.
Yes.
Take over this week. I think, what, 2 years exclusivity period the new owner's got, and it took them about 16 months into that to finally complete the takeover. Do you think... I think it's got to be something that they need, surely.
Yeah, certainly. I think Birmingham City are another side where they've sort of just been languishing mid-table mediocrity for a bit, and the Birmingham supporters will be hoping that this takeover will be one that will inject a bit of cash into the sort of playing staff to see them challenging. I mean, they're in a decent position at the moment. Let's not forget, they're sixth in the table at the moment. So Gary Rowett's got them playing some decent stuff. So I think this could be a good thing for Birmingham City. We don't know too much about the owners, but again, it just shows you the sort of wide appeal, the international appeal of the game, that another football club in this country has been taken over by foreign owners. I'm not too sure if that's a good thing. We've seen, obviously, with Hull City, it's not been the best. So it can be sort of hit and miss, but I'm sure that the Birmingham City supporters will be hoping that this is one that will do them the world of good.
I think I saw £12 million the new owners pledged to put in to the playing squad.
That's nothing really in today's money. I mean, that buys you Ross McCormack.
Very true. But I was thinking, if Birmingham City can be sixth in the league with the squad they've got now, £12 million. I think with Birmingham in kind of past couple of years, they've been very kind of savvy with the money. They've looked for that bargain. They've got players cheap. It worked out quite well in reality. I think £12 million would actually go a long way for Birmingham. Yeah, could well cement them as a top six side.
Yeah, nobody's knocking it. You'd happily take the £12 million, but it doesn't really get you that far in terms of players these days. It could get you a couple of good players, decent players that will assist the squad. So yeah, they'll be hoping that. I mean, like you mentioned, Gary Rowett's got them up to six in the table with the players that he's got at his disposal at the moment. They play Rotherham tonight. They'll fancy their chances against a side that are just struggling really at the bottom of the Championship table. You're expecting them to take 3 points this evening. So things certainly looking pretty rosy for City at the moment. That's for sure.
Now, it's not strictly Football League related, moving on, but York City, it's worth a mention because I don't know if you can figure it out. I cannot figure out, hey, what Jackie McNamara's done to just keep himself at the club. and B, just overall, what's going on? Just what do you make of the situation at York City? Because it is crazy.
Yeah. I think we've only got 17 minutes left of this programme. I think we need another 17 hours to discuss this. Yeah, it's absolute bonkers. I've never known a manager to leave his job and then be promoted to chief executive. I think that's a first in world football. No idea what's going on there. It's absolutely bonkers. But the people you feel for are the supporters. The York City supporters must be looking at this going, what is going on at Booth and Crescent? Because this is an absolute comedy. I mean, Jackie McNamara wrote a sitcom about a decade ago, a pilot sitcom about football. He did, yes. So you sort of wonder, are the cameras rolling there at Bootham Crescent? Is this going to be a part of a sort of comedic production? Because that's what it certainly looks like. Gary Mills has obviously come in there. His first match last night never ended too well, getting dumped out of the FA Cup. It's going to take time to implement his own ideas onto the club. But it's just bizarre. I mean, there was talk that he's put a bit of money into the club, that's why he can't leave. The chairman's came out and said he's not put a penny into the club, but I'm not too sure if that's a penny into the club or his business. I'm not too sure if that's what he means by that, but certainly I've never known anything like it, that's for sure.
Definitely. I think York City can be lucky in the sense that if they were, say, in the Championship, this would be all over the back pages, surely. It would be something that everyone knows about. So I think they've kind of got away with it by being a non-league team. Well, I think they can turn it around.
Yeah, Jackie McNamara's not getting away with it back in Scotland, I can tell you that. That's for sure. It's provided much hilarity back in his native Scotland, I can tell you that. But he's sort of, I feel a wee bit for Jackie because, I mean, his first job was at Partick Thistle. He got them playing some great stuff. It caught the eye of Dundee United. They took him to Tannadice. He got them playing some great stuff there until he then sold his best players to Celtic prior to meeting Celtic in the League Cup final. It then transpired that he was getting a cut of the transfers that he was selling, so the Dundee United fans weren't too happy. They never replaced those players, and then they sort of had a few poor results. He got sacked from there, and then he's went to York City, and it's just been an absolute nightmare. So just for, I think for Jackie's sake, surely he can't be happy down there staying when he's got supporters running on the park wanting to have a go at him. You know when supporters are jumping out from the turnstiles and running towards you that the game's a bogey?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Take me give it up. But he said himself he's not one for walking away, so fair play for him for staying on, but it's just absolutely bonkers.
That it is. Right, so you'll have the team news at Oakwell very soon. We'll be crossing over to Mark Wilson, Stats and Redders over at Elland Road as well to get the team news from there, and that's coming up next.
Oh, look, they've put it in the local paper.
Really?
Tom and Mary Wainthorpe are proud to announce the engagement of their daughter, Carrie, to Gareth Shadwell.
Oh.
Five-door hatchback for sale. One previous owner, 46,000 miles, full-service history, 3 months MOT.
Like getting your money's worth? Well, discover the new delicious barbecue chicken BLC with Beechwood smoked bacon. Just $1.49 from the Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
You have the power to set yourself free. We have put an end to line rental charges with our Vodafone Unlimited Fibre home broadband. Vodafone. Power to you.
18-month agreement, subject to credit check, acceptance and availability. New and upgrading fibre broadband products only. Full terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband.
Right, sharpen knives, slice bacon, remind Mrs. Jones to collect her sausages, again, pay the locksmith, update website, speak to Josh about being late, again, and find an hour to talk to the bank about their business tariffs.
HSBC's best tariff promise ensures you're on our best standard tariff every year, so you're free to get on with running your business. Another big little thing from HSBC. Search HSBC Business Bank for more details.
For businesses up to £2 million turnover on a small business or electronic banking tariff business current account. Promise based on annual review of your last 12 months account activity. T's and C's apply. See website.
I'm pleased to say that we'll be happy to sell your home for you.
And you do come highly recommended.
We're the best, madame. The rate is our standard 2% plus VAT, so if you could just sign here.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. Yelp is local property managers sell your home for a small fixed fee from £780.
But, madame, what about 1%?
See ya.
Yopa!
For a free face-to-face valuation, go to yopa.co.uk. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, welcome back to the FL72. Myself and Derek Clark with you. Now we'll be previewing tonight's action and we'll start off at Elland Road for our commentary game live here on Radio Yorkshire, bringing Mark Wilson, who I believe has got the Leeds United team news for us.
I have indeed, Tom, yes. One change for Leeds. I think it's the one that many, many wanted to see tonight. Kim Aroof comes in for a start, a rare start for Leeds. Alex Moore is the one that drops to the bench. It means Rob Green continues in goal. The back four of Ayling, Bartley, Janssen and Taylor. Phillips and O'Kane, the two holding in front. Then Sacco, Hernandez and Roof we expect to play in behind. Chris Wood on the bench, Silvestri, Coyle, Cooper, Vieira, Grimes, Moore and Antonsen. Stats is alongside me. Stats, I think that is the change everyone wanted to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I think after the performance against Derby on Saturday, I don't think Alex played anywhere near his potential. It's difficult because he's stuck on that left wing and he's not a natural left wing as a natural number 10. But good to see Kamara Roof come in and hopefully have an opportunity tonight to take that chance and make it a real headache for when Stuart Dallas is fit.
Yeah, no Stuart Dallas. We'll hope to get an update on that one tonight as to how long he's likely to be out. I'm awaiting official confirmation of the Wigan Athletic team news, boys, but one change for Leeds, and it's a positive one, you would say. Roof comes in, Mowat misses out.
Cracking. Fancy Leeds to get the result tonight?
Yes, that's when it's always dangerous. Tom, you know the rules by now, every time we get optimistic about Leeds. But what could possibly go wrong? Four straight wins at Elland Road, one win in 10 for Wigan, one away point all season. They're unbeaten in three, though, Wigan, so they do have a little bit of form, but they're struggling for goals. So hopefully Leeds can put them to the sword tonight.
Hopefully they will. Thanks, Mark. And Stats back with them just after 7 for live commentary of Leeds United versus Wigan in the Sky Bet Championship. And Derek, you're at Oakwell. Do you have the Barnsley Newcastle team news for us?
Yeah, just hot off the press here. So run through Barnsley. First of all, great news for the Tykes faithful, Conor Hourihain, who's been struggling with a calf injury. He's actually managed to shake that off. So he returns to the midfield tonight. Massive loss he was in the last couple of games. So he makes his return. Three changes in all. In comes Bree Jackson and Hourihain. Out goes Skewen, who's banned, obviously sent off against Fulham on Saturday. Pakawa and McDonald drop to the bench, so they line up. Davis in goals, Yadam, Jackson, Roberts and Bree at the back four, Kent, Morsey, Hourihain and Hamill in the midfield with Winnell and Watkins up top. Newcastle, meanwhile, it looks like three changes they've made as well. So they've brought in Matt Ritchie, Diame and Hayden. They come in for them. Dropping out is Awoze Perez, Atsu and Colback. So they line up with what looks like Darlow in goals, Anita, Lachelle, Clark and Dummett at the back four with Ritchie, Shelvey, Hayden and Gufran, Diame supporting Gale up top. So a very strong looking Newcastle side, so certainly the Reds have got their work cut out this evening.
I was going to say, yeah, do you fancy Barnsley to get anything? What is it, four losses out of the last five? Newcastle, four wins out of the last five. You've got a fancy Newcastle, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got to. Saying that, though, Barnsley have only lost once here in their 15 league games against Newcastle, their last defeat coming back in 1983. They lost 5-0. So that's a stat that I'm sure Paul Higginbotham will hoping to continue. Saying that, though, Newcastle, they're unbeaten in 10 games against Barnsley in all competitions. They've won eight and drawn the last two. Their last defeat came here at this very ground back in 1992, and they're in a rich vein of form at the moment. Newcastle, they're scoring goals from all over the place. The league's top scorer as well, and Dwight Gale up top. So if Barnes are going to take anything from this game, they're going to have to shut out him.
They are indeed. And they're a team we haven't touched on yet, actually, Barnsley. You've got to think, as a team coming up, a team who kind of in the first half of last season looked pretty much relegated from League One.
Yeah.
They've come into the Championship, they're 11th after 12 games. The Barnsley fans have got to be happy with that, regardless of kind of their recent form.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they were fighting against relegation in League One before Higginbotham took over. He's worked wonders there. They've come up into the division. They had a terrific start to the campaign. They're picking up points all over the place. Sort of slid a little of late. They've had a bit of bad publicity in the last month as well, obviously with Tommy Wright being sacked, so that was unwelcome as well. So I think they're sort of, they'll need to arrest that slide sooner rather than later, because before you know it, you can be in a relegation battle, and you really don't want that because the Championship is a fiercely competitive league. Listen, they're all tough games. Paul Higginbotham said that at the start of the season, every game is going to be tough, but I'm sure he'd take a fourth and bottom finish at the end of the season, that's for sure.
Definitely. And then moving on elsewhere, Rotherham United in action tonight against Birmingham City away. One win all season for the Millers.
Yeah.
And that came at home. Five straight losses again. Much like we were talking about like Barnsley, Newcastle there. You can't see Rotherham getting anything out of this, surely.
You can't. I mean, it's going to be a difficult game for them. Although, in saying that, like I said, I seen them at Huddersfield and they were very unlucky not to take a point in that game. They missed a chance with 5 minutes to go. A glaring opportunity. They really should have got a 2-2 draw in that one. They have been playing a bit better. Ironically, they played well against Newcastle. Rafa Benitez couldn't believe they were in the position they were in at the bottom of the table. But I tell you what, Alan Stubbs doesn't want performances at this stage. He just wants results because you can be found yourself marooned at the bottom of the table there. I think they now need 2 wins to get out of the relegation zone. So when you start adding up that sort of many points you need to just get safe, then it's always a dangerous game.
That it is. And a quick word on Alan Stubbs. I know the performances have been there, but he said it himself, the results. It's about the results. They're not getting the results. I'm a fan of, you know, personally speaking, I'm a fan of giving managers time. You know, you can't really judge managers early into the season. But at what point do you look at Alan Stubbs, you know, for Rotherham, look at that perspective and say, right, it's not working out. We're going to have to get someone else in. And just who else could they bring in?
Well, see, the thing is, if the performances weren't there, then you've got an easy decision to make. You get rid. But the performances, there is signs there that he is trying to build something. The thing is, you don't get time in football these days anymore. I mean, the championship, there's so much money in the championship now as well. You get relegated from that, it's going to hit you financially. So a lot of chairmen usually press the panic button and they get rid of the manager a lot sooner than what they really should give their managers.
Yeah.
So I mean, Alan Stubbs, he likes to play the football the right way. He's got a good outlook in the game, but it's hard to see how they're going to pick up points to save themselves. I mean, I was quite impressed with some of the players he brought in. He brought a number of players in from Scotland, bargain buys as well. I mean, Mill Vaux was a cracking signing, and he hit the ground running. His first game, he scored a cracking goal with his left foot from about 25 yards, but I think he's just he's sort of tailed off a little bit and he's struggling for form. He's brought Scott Allen in, he knew from his time at Hibernian, won player of the year when he was up there. He wasn't getting a game at Celtic, brought him in, but he's disappointed with Scott Allen's attitude. So I think some of the players really have to look at themselves in the mirror and ask themselves, am I giving my 100% for the Millers? Because some of them aren't, and it's disappointing because you nearly need all players firing in all cylinders if you want to stay in the division.
Definitely. And then running out of time, but quickly going into League One, Bradford, we've already mentioned the two teams in action. Bradford hosting Southend, Shrewsbury hosting Sheffield United. Again, like some of the championship fixtures we've been discussing, on paper, it should really be two victories for our Yorkshire sides tonight.
It certainly should be. Two sides that are flying high, albeit Bradford lost at the weekend, but they were always going to lose at some point in the day, and I think they were very unlucky. They missed a penalty. They should have got a penalty in the last kick of the ball as well. So I think they'll definitely bounce back tonight. I think Sheffield United as well, too strong for Shrewsbury, so I think they'll come good, which will make for, like I mentioned, a cracking showdown on Saturday at Valley Parade.
Will be indeed. It should indeed so. Running out of time now, but before I let you go, Derek,
yep.
Quick score prediction for, we'll go for Barnsley, Newcastle, the game you're at, and Leeds United, Wigan, our live commentary game here on Radio Yorkshire.
Well, I think Barnsley have got their work out. As I mentioned, Dwight Gayle up top for Newcastle, he's top scorer in the division, but they've got goals spread right throughout the team as well, and a rich vein of form. Newcastle, Barnsley on the other hand, as we mentioned, lost 4 of the last 5 games. The last victory came at Molineux, that 4-0 win over Wolves. Since then, they've sort of hit the skids somewhat, so I can't see them winning here this evening. I think the best they can get is a draw, but I think they'll lose this one by the odd goal, 2-1.
There we are. Thank you very much, Derek, for joining me this evening, and enjoy tonight's action.
Yeah.